Believers and study your word. Ask you, Lord, now to guide and direct in this time. Speak to our hearts. Help us to change and be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Very quickly, Maxie Wampler had sinus surgery this week and is doing well. It's good to have the Swaggers with us and Larry over here and Wesley also. Great. Glad to have each of you today. This morning, I want to speak to you about a topic that is a great need in my life. I would love to know what you're thinking right now. Some of you would like to come up and teach this lesson, I'm sure, because you think you know exactly what my need is and you take care of it. I have a suspicion that probably this is a great need in your life too. Because what I'm going to speak on this morning does not come naturally. In fact, the opposite of what I'm going to speak on comes naturally, and it's something that you deal with every day of your life. The topic is very important. It is talked about a great deal in Scripture. It will change you dramatically if you ever get a hold of this. And I'll just be honest with you. I need to get a hold of this myself. Our topic this morning is the topic of praise. You will not naturally be a thankful person. How many of you have children that were just naturally thankful? I mean, from the womb. I mean, just always thankful. Anybody have one of those? I can't believe that. We are not naturally people who want to praise the Lord and to say thank you. It's not normal. By the way, I'm going to use those two terms synonymously today, being praising and thanking. Now, they're a little different, but for our study today, I'm going to kind of treat them as the same. And the simple matter of fact is, we need to be people of praise. Now, if you do what comes naturally, what will you do? You will gripe. You will complain. Condemn. Now I know none of you have a problem with that, but I do, so I'll teach myself today and you can listen in. So, first of all, this morning, I want you to see the priority of praise. The priority of praise is found all throughout Scripture. It's mentioned 270 times in the Word of God. 154 of those are found in what book? Psalms. Found in the book of Psalms. Let me read some of these to you very quickly. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 150. Psalm 150, because I want to read all these together and really get the impact. I tell you what, I'm going to read 148 in a bit. You can turn there too. It's just the same page in my Bible. That'll make it easy for you. Here we go. The mention of praise in the Bible. Psalm 22:23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. Psalm 67:3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 106:1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 107:8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 111:1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 113:1, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 117:1, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Psalm 135:1, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Psalm 135:3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. And Psalm 147:7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Now I'm going to skip 148 for time's sake, but I want to read Psalm 150 together. Okay, you got Psalm 150? We're going to read it out loud, all of us together. Here we go. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with stringed instruments and organs, Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let me ask a question. Is there a priority of praise in the Word of God? Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. We are to be people of praise. Let me just ask you, how many of you struggle with being consistently a thankful, praising person in your life? How many struggle with that? This is where you raise your hand. Okay? We all do, don't we? We all have a tendency. We like to pray and ask the Lord for things. We're not real good about thanking him when he does things for us. People of praise. Now, I want to secondly look at the power of praise. What praise will do. And it's amazing. First of all, we're going to see what praise does for us, what it does for others, and then even what it does for God. Pretty amazing. Number one, the power of praise and what it does to you. Look in Psalm 42. Psalm 42, move there quickly. We've got a lot to cover. Keep those pages turning. Psalm 42, verse 9. Psalm 42, verse 9. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say unto me daily, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You see what happens when all these bad things happen. You get discouraged, you get despondent. And why art thou disquieted within me? What's the answer? Take a pill. Right? Go see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. No, what's the answer? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. What's the answer when you are discomfited, when your enemies are against you, when things are not going well? Now again, what do we want to do? Has this made it all the way around the class? Or just the side? Did the nursery list make it on the side? Oh, we'll take care of that right now. What do you want to do when it's going bad? We had a wonderful trip to Nova Scotia. Unfortunately, about Roanoke, we started smelling something. And it got worse and worse and worse. And we made it to exit 66. That's not bad. We started out 1,400 miles away. And the exhaust pipe had rusted out, had disconnected. The bus was on fire, but nothing serious. I'll just be real honest with you. At the time, I was not praising the Lord a whole lot. That's a long story. We had three drivers. Two of them did great. One of them, whenever he drove, there was something wrong. I won't tell you who it was. Tom's his first name, but. I tell you, folks, when things are not going well, that's the time you need to praise the Lord the most. We talk about focus a great deal here in the Sunday school class. If you focus on the problem, you're going to be discouraged, despondent. You're going to have all kinds of problems, stressed out. What does praise do? When you start thinking about who God is, what God has done, what God will do, it changes your total focus, doesn't it? Now, we've talked about this before. Peter walking on the water. Now, we give Peter a hard time, but nobody else got out of the boat. And Peter did so well while his focus was right, didn't he? When his focus got wrong, though, he went down. Let me ask you a question. Where's your focus this morning? What or whom are you focusing upon? Now, if you want to get really discouraged, here's how to do it. Okay? Just focus on yourself. Okay? Just think about all your faults and your failures, all the things in life you wish you'd done and didn't do. Then you'll have a midlife crisis. You'll go out and buy a Corvette, you know, which you can't pay for, so things are just going to get worse. You've already got a Harley. You don't need a Corvette. Leroy's already going through this right now. So. Psalm 74:21. Listen to this carefully. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. That's kind of strange, isn't it? If you'd written the Bible, what would you have said? Let the wealthy and those that have everything praise the Lord. I mean, God's been really good to them, but he says, no, let the poor and needy praise the Lord. Why should the poor and needy praise the Lord? Because again, it changes their focus, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 10:5 is a great verse. It says this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Now, when we are consumed with worry, we don't have a right focus. We are not thinking correctly. The battle indeed is for the mind. And what praise will help you do, folks, it will help you to get your thinking right. It'll get your mind right. When you have a wrong focus, you're saying, God is not fair. I don't deserve this. This is not right. When you get your focus on God and who he is and his righteousness, his love and his power, it changes everything. And that's why in Proverbs 4:8 he says, finally, brethren, I want you to think about some things. And the first thing I want you to think about are things that are true. Now, you stop for a moment and think about the things that you're consumed with, the things you're worried about, the things that control your thinking. And guess what? Most of them are not true. Most of the things we worry about never happen. They're not true. He said, no, I want you to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous. If there be any praise, think on these things. Now, we're talking about how praise changes you internally. But you know what? Praise changes you externally too. Now, this is not rocket science. Psalm 33:1 says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is, strange word, we don't use this word now, comely. Comely, now I used to think that meant ugly, you know. She's comely. Ooh. You know, no, comely, that means beautiful. You know what praise does to you externally? Now, I don't have much to work with, but help me here. Which do you like better? Or, I mean, that's all I got to work with. That's the best I can do, okay? Who would you rather be around? Someone who's griping and complaining all the time or someone who's praising the Lord? Praise will change you. You say, well, Gary, it's just my personality. I'm just kind of a sad sack, you know, and it's because of my parents and my environment and all these things. And that is a bunch of junk, folks. We need to be people of praise, and it will change us internally. It'll change your focus. It'll change you externally. Okay? Now, not only does it change you, but it changed those around you. Look at Psalm chapter 40 and verse 1. I think you may be close by. I'm already there. I'm not sure where you are. Psalm 40 and verse 1. I just baptized my Bible. Now it's holy. Psalm 41. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. What is the song? Even praise unto our God. Now notice, you're awake? Many shall not hear it. Many shall see it and trust in the Lord. Do you see it? Does that make sense to you? When you are a person of praise and you are praising God, no matter what, people are going to look at your life and they're going to say, you know what? Rick Baker has got something real. He can praise God even in trial. And it will cause people to want what you have. You see, the world doesn't have that. The world has to turn to alcohol and drugs and all kinds of things when it has trouble to be happy. The believer doesn't, folks. And my, what an impact we can have when we become people of praise. Another great example in the Word of God, of course, Paul and Silas in the jail at Philippi. If that were me, I'd be sitting in the jail saying, boy, I try to serve God. You know, here I am sacrificing my life, traveling all over the world, serving God, and casting out demons and preaching the word of God. I'm faithful. Here we are in this stupid dungeon. What a bummer. And they're sitting in the jail having a praise service. Did it affect anybody else? When the chains broke loose and the doors flew open. These were hardened criminals, folks. What'd they do? They all stayed there. The jailer came to him and said, hey, what must I do to be saved? You say, well, they probably gave him a tract before they went in. They probably preached it. No, I don't think so. He heard that prayer meeting going on down there. He heard that praise service. He said, these guys have got something I don't have. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Maybe, folks, the reason that we're not having a whole lot of impact on those around us is because we're not people of praise. Because we act just like they do. We are discouraged and sad and despondent and depressed just like they are when problems come. And they say, you know what? Your life is just like mine. Why would I want that? You know the story. Speaking again of the power of praise and influence of others. But you know the story of H.G. Spafford, a wealthy businessman, had several daughters, was a married man in Chicago. At the time of the Chicago fire, he lost everything. His family was spared, but he lost his business. And you know the story. He put his wife and his daughters on a ship and sent them to Europe. And as you know, there was a storm. The ship went down. He got a telegram from his wife. Two words. Saved. Alone. Now here's a man, folks, who's lost his business. He's lost his economic income, he's lost it all. He's now lost his daughters. And he gets on a ship to go to meet his wife. And he's on that ship. The captain came to him and said, this is the place where the ship went down. Your daughters are buried beneath this ocean. What would you have done? He wrote a song. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Does that song impact you? It does me. He goes on and he said, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, it's nailed to the cross. What a wonderful thought. It's nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. And he said, praise the Lord, O my soul. That song is powerful, folks. Why? Because a man in adversity, a man in great trouble, a man in great trial said, praise the Lord. Now we are here, we are hundreds of years later, and we sing that song, and it still impacts us today. Why? Because he knew the power of praise. Not only when things were good, but also when things were bad. So, the power of praise on ourselves, the power of praise on others, here's the amazing one. The power of praise on God. You say, whoa, wait a minute. Well, here's the verse, Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. What does that say? What does that mean? Somebody tell me, what does that mean? God inhabits the praises of Israel or of his people. What does that mean? When you praise God, he shows up. So, the application is, if you want to experience the Lord's presence, what should you do? Praise him. That's an amazing thought to me. Now, we see this throughout the Old Testament. I won't take a whole lot of time here. In the dedication of the temple, They had 120 trumpets, huge choir, and all a bunch of, and I would have loved to direct that bunch. Wouldn't that be something? You know, really, you know, just wow. And when they played and they praised God, God's presence came into the temple. There's another interesting story about Jehoshaphat who's going out to battle, fighting a mighty host. And God said, all right, I'm going to give you the battle plan. When you go out to fight, I want the choir to go first. Now, I have trouble getting people in the choir right now. Imagine. And as the choir began to praise God, God's army moved in and wiped out the enemy. The power of praise. Now, thirdly, we've seen the priority of praise, power of praise, the path to praise. How can you become? If you're like me this morning, you're probably saying, you know what? I need help in this area. Okay? What's the path to praise? How can we become people who praise God? Number one, if praise is commanded in the Word of God and we're out doing it, then what is it? Sin. And when you sin, you ought to do what? Ask God to forgive you. Confess your sins. Did you ever think about praise or lack thereof being sin? It is. That's what the Word of God says. So we need to come to Him. I mean, the Word of God says in everything. Well, that's a tough one. Don't you wish the Word of God said, in most things give thanks? In everything? Surely there's a little asterisk and there's a list of things below that you don't have to give thanks for. In everything? Wow. I don't have a whole lot of time, but how is that possible? How is it possible to give thanks in everything? What must you know? God's in control. And He's got a good plan. And if God allowed it, He's got a reason for it. And therefore, we can be thankful. It's kind of hard to swallow, though, isn't it? Yes, ma'am. Sure. Good. Okay. And there are stories galore like that. I mean, even with our bus situation. I mean, hallelujah, it didn't happen in Canada. And we had to all walk home, you know. It's a long walk. Hallelujah, it didn't happen today. The teens were supposed to take that bus to Pensacola today. What if they'd gotten down the road? They didn't have a mechanic. We had a mechanic with us. I mean, folks, when you realize that God is in control, He said, look, I want you to praise me for everything. Folks, part of that is, all right, we confess our sin. Secondly, we need to change our focus. The reason I don't praise God enough is my focus is wrong. I'm focusing on the wrong thing. It's that simple. When you focus on God, when you focus on the love of God, now just stop, this is one example, all right? Think about the love of God. Do you deserve God's love? Think about what you did this week that should alienate you from God, and yet God still loves you. By the way, I heard someone give a testimony recently, and the simple matter of fact is, you know what? God loves us no matter what we're like. I think sometimes we think, you know, if I'm good and I live right, God loves me more. Well, now, God's love is unconditional. Now, just think about that. Are you thinking about it? All right, Lord, are you thinking about it? Okay. Now, when you focus on that, what naturally comes out of that? Praise. How can it not? How can you as a believer think about the love of God and say, well, yeah, God loves me. I mean, you have to praise the Lord. I don't deserve His love. I deserve hell. I mean, you just start focusing on who God is, folks, and my lands, it's going to change. Now, how do you do that? How do you focus on who God is? How can you continually keep the focus right? This is real basic. Stay in the Word, Wesley. Exactly right. Because what does the Bible talk about? It talks about God. And when I'm not in the Word, I'm not focusing on who God is. I'm focusing on everything else. And you know, this may be the root of most of our problems. The reason we don't praise the Lord is we're not in the Word every day. I've been reading in Leviticus in my devotions this last week. Isn't that exciting? All about the sacrifices, but I tell you what, every sacrifice pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't have to do all that stuff because Christ did it all at Calvary. He fulfilled every sacrifice. That'll cause you to praise the Lord. Get in the Word of God. Focus on the things of the Word of God. Listen to the right kind of music. I could stop there and preach for a long time. Now look, without being mean, if all you listen to is country western music, okay, it's not going to cause you to praise the Lord. Okay? It's just not going to happen. Or if all you listen to is Rush Limbaugh, hallelujah. Now I like to listen to Rush every once in a while. But too much of that will get your focus in the wrong place. And you'll get to, if you want to get discouraged, listen to these radio talk shows about how bad the world is. See, they don't have the perspective of God in control. Now, again, I'm not against Rush. I listen to him every once in a while, but usually I'm in my car. I got my phone. I listen to sermons because I need it. Look, you can't watch TV 24/7 and have a right focus. See, we pump all this stuff into our mind and then we can't figure out why can't I focus on God? Okay? Now, very quickly, last point, the preparation of praise. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are saved on your way to heaven? This also helps me to wake you up a little bit good. All right. When you die, where are you going?
Heaven.
What are you going to do in heaven for all eternity? Isn't that amazing? Now, you can turn here. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And verse 8. Revelation 5:8. We're going to read several verses here. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. And what were they doing? Boy, I tell you what, this heaven sure isn't all that nice. All right? Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. There's a great little duet we sing from time to time. Someday this stammering tongue will falter no more, and a grand and sweeter song I shall sing. For I'll join the heavenly choir on heaven's bright shore forever to praise the King. And while the ages roll, what are you going to do? We'll keep on praising him. And my voice will never tire or grow old, and my song shall ever be, Praise the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while the ages shall roll. For all eternity, we'll be praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Are you a person of praise? If you were to honestly examine your life, would you say, Gary, I have a consistent pattern of thankfulness and praise to God in my life? Probably all of us could improve dramatically. I know I can. I need to. And we need to let the Spirit of God take the Word of God and change us and make us into people who are not gripers and complainers and grumblers, but people who are praising God and thanking God on a consistent daily basis for His goodness to us. And I challenge you today to pray and say, Lord, help me to be a person of praise. That I'd be thankful in everything, everything. Okay? Lord, we do thank you for your word today. We thank you for the exhortation. Lord, I need this today. I need to be a person who praises you no matter what. And I know I struggle with that. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to have a right focus in every situation, that I could praise you and exalt you, and that others would see it and would trust Christ through my testimony. Help us all, I pray, this week to focus on praise. Today, to focus on praise and to spend time praising you and thanking you for your goodness, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.